to welcome my co-host, Paul Hollis, author of the Hollow Man series, owner of Hollow Man Publishing, an American-made VA. Paul, how are you? I know you're excited about our guest.
Yeah, I'm very excited today. We have Amy Downs with us. She's the CEO of Allegiance Credit Union. She is a keynote speaker, and she also has a novel that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and Amy and I were talking in the green room. Hope is the verb. Is that correct?
Hope is the verb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how did that come about? I mean, you talked about COVID, writing it during that. A lot of CEOs, I guess, when they got to be more remote and not doing the commuting back and forth, wrote books. I think it was a perfect time, that time during COVID. Either we're going to, you know, expand our podcast, which I did with adding video, or someone else writing a book. But that was part of your process. But I'm very intrigued because of the background of why you wrote it.
Right. So the book, it was about a 10-year project, actually. I kept struggling with my message, and it is about surviving the Oklahoma City bombing, but more importantly, the transformation afterwards for myself and for Oklahoma City. And hope came about because I read a definition of hope by the authors of a book called Hope Rising that said that hope is the belief that your future can be better and brighter than your past, and that you actually play a role in making that happen. And that really resonated with me. And so I went with the hope as a verb because I do believe so much that it's not so much what happens to you, but how you choose to respond to it that makes all the difference, which is that ancient quote from the Greek philosopher Epictetus.
So you could understand things, a lot of what people went through in 9/11 with the Oklahoma City bombing. So you were there then, right during that time, near it? Yes. Or okay, so kind of describe the experience.
So I went to work on April 19th, 1995, not knowing anything was getting ready to happen. And I worked on the third floor, front and center of the Murrah Building in downtown Oklahoma City. And Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols, you know, set a bomb off in a Ryder truck that killed 168 people and killed 18 of my 33 coworkers. So over half of our staff where I worked was killed. And for me, I remember everything. I heard this, you know, roaring and this, everything went black, and I could feel this rushing sensation like I was falling and hear people screaming all around me. And this woman screaming right in my ear, "Jesus, help me, Jesus, help me." And then me realizing that that was actually my voice. I didn't even recognize the sound of my own voice. I was so terrified. And I landed and was buried under 10 feet of rubble. I could not see. I could not move. I was literally buried alive. I found out later I had a fiberglass curtain wrapped around my head. And it was very hot and dark. And I couldn't see. Whether I opened my eyes or closed my eyes, it was pitch black. And when I could breathe and take a breath, it just, the smell was so awful and it just burned my lungs. And it was 45 minutes that I laid there, the screaming had stopped and I was screaming, but nobody was there. Nobody would answer for 45 minutes before they found me. Then when they did find me, I didn't know what had happened or, you know, that I was trapped. So in such a bad spot, I thought they were going to 1, 2, 3, grab my hand and pull me up and out. My hand was sticking out of the side of this rubble pile that I was upside down in.
My goodness.
But when they found my hand, I heard people screaming and yelling, "There's another bomb. There's another bomb. Everybody out now. We have to go. There's another bomb. Let's go. Let's go." So my rescuer started saying, "Amy, we need to get some more hydraulic equipment. We're going to be right back." But I could hear and I knew and I could feel the rubble around me shaking as people were running and screaming out of the building, or what was left of the building. So I had another 45 minutes where my reality was, I'm getting ready to die. I now know it was a bomb. There's another bomb. And this is it. My life is over. So those moments where I had life literally flashing before my eyes is really what changed so much of the rest of my life, because I never forgot the regret that I felt when I realized I'm 28 years old and I'm getting ready to die. And I've never really even lived. And I just wanted a second chance. A second chance.
And that process, which again, today you probably are going through, there's got to be a lot of post-traumatic distress, mm-hmm. I mean, PTSD for sure, mm-hmm. from this. How did you overcome being still a CEO and having success in life? And sounds like just talking to you off in the green room, you are successful, not just in the boardroom, but also outside the boardroom in your life. How are you able to deal with what happened not to hurt you on a daily basis going through something like this?
I think at first, the first few years, we had to rebuild our business. Our credit union lost our only location. It was free space. We lost our business model. We lost over half our employees. So I threw myself into work, which in some ways, you know, was good because you can't process that much grief all at once. And so that little bit of maybe denial or avoidance, you know, was probably good for a few years. I did go to therapy. Somebody talked me into going to therapy, which was one of the best things I could have done. And then I never forgot the moments when they pulled me out of the building and I was laying on a gurney looking up at the sky, taking that first breath of fresh air and promising I would never live my life the same. So I kept thinking, I really want to make true to my promise that I want to live my life different. So I had been a college dropout. I couldn't pass the remedial math class. I flunked it twice. So I went back to school. I got my degree. I got my master's. And then that just lit me on fire that I really can do what I set my mind to if I set my mind to it and create action steps and a plan to get there. And so I tackled my weight. I lost 200 pounds. I started riding a bicycle across the state of Oklahoma, became a marathoner, and then a triathlete. And when I was 15, wow. I did an Ironman triathlon and then became CEO. So it's been a journey of just really constantly stopping and thinking about, what do I really want to do in this life? How do I really want to serve people? What do I want to do for me? What does that look like? And being very intentional about how I'm living my life. And now speaking and trying to encourage other people to do the same thing.
And I think that's the thing where we have our light bulb come on at one point in our lives. We go through lots of journeys where we have a choice, mm-hmm. and we then finally something turns on and we just have completely changed. I look into self-hypnosis getting through my divorce and now moving on, even though when I was my separation, I was in the fight and flight. I was in the denial. I was in this kind of not a good person to be around, you know, mm-hmm. cried many times. See, I share this stuff on my show. I could care less. It is what it is. And whoever sees it, not crying because I was separated, but crying because it was so different, yeah. crying that I was not with the right person. Crying that I was not seeing my children, many different things in this process. But once I went through self-hypnosis, through the law of attraction and different things like that and different mindset, I'm a different person. Yeah. I can go through anything and I just keep going and I just visually know it. And I lay my life out to make sure it's a life that I can serve others, mm-hmm. and not have regret for what I do every day, because you never know when this day is going to end.
That's right.
As you saw with this experience, I could not wake up tomorrow. That's or right. not. Hopefully I won't wake up. When I don't wake up, it's 100 years from now. But what I'm saying is you have to live your each day. It's like it's your last. If everyone would go out and live their life that each day was their last, I honestly believe we'd have a better life, because not like chaotic, but let's live it great. Mm-hmm. Even if we're going to work today, how can we make this day at work better?
And I do that every morning. Every morning, I literally sit there and I think, okay, what is one thing to, you know, not really like every day's my last, but like a fraction of it, right? A fraction of it. Like, okay, be very intentional. And what is one thing that I can do to move forward toward the goals that I have, which are serving others, you know, through positivity and intention and empathy? Like, what is one thing I'm doing today? Just trying to be very mindful of all that.
And if you weren't in the position you are as a CEO, you couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. You could do it for some, but ultimately you can serve so many more people the more success you have in your life.
True.
That's the thing that why we strive for success, because honestly, it's you have a responsibility. Yes. I'm not to the level you're at, but I'm getting there. And I see it in my own business and where I'm growing and where I'm going and multiple businesses that I'm launching. And I look at all this and say, okay, look at the responsibility I have now and how much everyone else is relying on me. wow. I relate it to the days when I was in my classroom and I had 20 students in the classroom and how they were I was responsible for that fourth grade classroom. And now I'm like, I'm responsible for a lot more now. Mm-hmm. I look at all this as, hey, it can't be about me. It's got to be me continue to grow, but it's about others. And the more we do that, the better we become.
You're exactly right. And one of the things that I'm facing is you need to know as a leader and a CEO when to get out of the way.
Right.
And that's hard. A lot of CEOs overstay and they stay past their time. And I'm actually leaving next year. It scares me to death. I'm retiring young. But it's because I have a great, amazing executive team and it's time to get out of the way and let this next generation, this next layer lead. And that's tough because it'd be easy to sit back and go, oh, I'll just do it a few more years and draw that paycheck. And, you know, no, like, don't get complacent. Don't do that. Fight against that.
Do you think it's because it's time for a new journey for you? Ultimately, you could, like, especially CEOs get on other boards. As we were talking to the former CEO of Quiznos yesterday on the show, that, you know, she went on and she became CEO of something else. But it's time. You don't want to stay so long. You're welcome in one place, unless it's your own business. But if you're a founder, here's a question for you. Okay. If you're the founder, is there a time to exit?
You know, I can't speak to that because I'm not a founder, but I do listen to, I like listening to a lot of leadership podcasts and things. And I've heard that question come up before. And I can't give advice to it because I've not been in those shoes.
I don't know if I would step away. I think as a founder, I want to stay in one of my founder things, but I want to start other businesses from scratch or buy them and then step away and say, okay, let me keep the equity or sell the equity and move on to something bigger and better. We constantly have to create things that we look at. I mean, I never would have thought some of the things on paper look great, but they're not made money yet. Like I'm doing a documentary on my comeback into professional wrestling. I'm also now funding a movie about the Road Warriors with actor Chris Mulkey. So I never could imagine this. If you told me this 3 years ago, you're going to be doing all these things and you're looking to start all these other businesses, they'd say, wow, but we are wired differently than other people's CEOs because ultimately our day does end. We do need to take a step back, but explain. We do take a step back, but we go to sleep a lot of times with a lot of other responsibilities that we have to wait to the next day to deal with. And that's hard. Do you agree?
I agree. I absolutely agree. I'm telling you what. And we are wired a little bit different, I think, sometimes, you know, But the responsibility is a lot, but it's exciting. And if you manage your role and your responsibility and you keep serving others forefront, then I think you have a good chance at doing it right. It's the ones I think that get a little too self-centered and, you know, that word narcissistic is thrown around a lot, but I think that's where I see people get in a lot of trouble because that's easy to do. The more power that you have,
yes,
people you have around you, that can be a slippery slope. So you really have to fight hard to make sure you're staying true to yourself and your values and serving other people.
Did you see if you didn't see the founder of Uber's Netflix that went to Netflix, I think it was from Showtime. Oh my goodness. But it taught me so much I didn't know about board meetings. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be educated, but also this is me and believing creation mindset. I look at myself and say, I'm going to be in those positions someday. I look at The Rock who ended up wearing my knee pads back in the day and he ended up much bigger than I did, but I saw his transformation as an athlete to just, okay, I'm an actor to really figuring things out and then coming back to become partial ownership of the WWE and getting all and having all these other businesses. He saw the power of brand and how brand would work, but he envisioned this when he was a producer on Ballers. He didn't have the money that he has today. It's just what we all have to look at is we can create the life and the life we want. People don't believe that, but we can literally create it. And you 100%. Saw on that day in Oklahoma City with the bombing that you survived. And then you thrived. Mm-hmm. We all have to have that survival moment to thrive.
Right.
And we don't know when that comes because we might think it has happened, but you got to look at so many different things. So what's next for you after retirement? Do you have any ideas?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm taking the leap. I'm going to go from working for a company and having paid days off to like, let's just be a solo entrepreneur and like see what happens.
I think it's not, you're much bigger than a solo entrepreneur. Oh my gosh. I'll have to talk to you about that, because if your connects and being a CEO, especially in a credit union, oh my goodness, you will thrive. You're not going to be just a solopreneur. It's going to be much bigger. But where's the best place people can pick up the book? Because that's the inspirational part. Where can they go?
Of course, on Amazon, where we get all the things right now. So it is on Amazon, and it is also in some local bookstores in Oklahoma City, but Amazon is the main. And I've also recorded in Audible as well.
All right. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.